have us
talk. Tessie is discussing global warming and bad omens.
We're live. We don't have anyone else in here yet, though. Oh, I guess people are watching. We can start.
It's just for us. It's our show.
It's just for us.
Who cares if anybody else is watching or not? I'll look back and watch.
Do you want me to tweet?
Give me the YouTube link.
I'll tweet the what's it called? Live link. One second, everybody. Okay.
Let's just hope this is not how the rappers are preparing for tonight's game. They're like set to go.
Copy and paste it. Copy. That wouldn't work. Okay, wait.
I was just talking about how yellow my room is and how my walls are actually blue, so it makes no sense.
Oh, actually?
I don't understand it. Like I don't get it.
Fooled me.
Okay.
That's so funny. You look like the state of California.
That's what I said. That's what I said. Yeah. Like there are wildfires in my room right now.
Okay, now we've got some guests. Oh, we could get started. Do you want to?
Yay!
Okay, we could. I thought maybe we could get either the saddest thing, depending on how you look at it, or just like the natural progression of things out of the way is that the Bucks elimination. I mean, like progression of like the fittest in the natural world, kind of looking at it that way, is the Bucks being eliminated. And our feelings about it, mostly like, do you guys feel sad for Giannis?
I feel for the team. I feel like, you know, they probably set up so many expectations and they broke so many hearts. It could have easily been a sweep. And it kind of just reminds me of our LeBronto years. Like we had such a powerful regular season and you go into it being like, you know, the playoffs are ours. We got this. We can bulldoze through anyone. And then it just like collapses out of nowhere. And you're like, what's going on? Everything I had known to be true is just not true anymore. And I feel for the fan base.
It's not like they were having historic. I don't think we've seen like a collapse for consecutive years of like this magnitude, because they were having historic regular seasons. Giannis was having one of the best seasons in NBA history in terms of efficiency. And then to go out like this, it's like, it's such a bad look for everyone involved. Like you can't even blame one person. Like people were blaming the coaching, the inadequacies of the roster and of Giannis. Like there's so much blame to go around that I don't even know where they go from here, because they can go at it and try again for another regular season, but unless Coach Bud makes some significant changes to their system, no one's going to be intimidated by this team going into the playoffs, and they lose that upper hand they had of being intimidating to other teams. So I want to see what moves the front office makes if they go ahead and trade for Chris Paul, because it looks like OKC is going to move on from this makeup that they currently have. But they're not really known to take risks with the roster, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure what they're going to do. That would be a good move to get a playmaking point guard for Giannis to play more off ball and kind of mimic what Brogdon did for them last season when they were much more intimidating. It's not good for the narrative of, you know, with his impending free agency. It's literally the worst time to fall apart. Even just having a competitive series against Miami would have been better.
Do you think one of the first moves in that front office shuffle is ditching Bud, Coach Bud?
Yeah,
probably. I'm trying to when it comes to Coach Bud, I'm trying to be like balanced. Like I thought the whole thing about minutes was kind of overblown. Like I'm like, okay, like he doesn't want to work his players to death. Like if he sees a game is out of reach, he's not gonna go for 46 minutes like a coach nurse or something. But then every game he was like proving it further and further, like playing Giannis 34 minutes, and then like it was actually like he was like filling out like the parody that people made of him every single game along the series. Like it was astonishing. Like people were like, he can win this, just play your best player more than 36 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then he did it.
One of my things was just like, I can never get over his facial expressions. Like sometimes Nurse frustrates.
Always so shocked.
Just because he's always like, Nurse is sometimes just like shrugging or like obviously that face. But Bud's face, it's very cartoonish.
Very like disgusted, like it's repulsed.
Disgusted, shocked, just like eyes bulging out of his head.
And he just can't believe what he's seeing.
He can never
all
believe.
The time. Yeah.
But he's kind of setting us all up for like the perfect memification of his firing. I feel like any one of those pictures could just be a still of him. Like
so. All the articles announcing his firing will have like variations of his expression.
Basically,
no serious pictures.
One thing I did feel like was kind of sad, not to be like, it's so sad. It's weird because it's like we wished, as Raptors fans, obviously wished for the Bucks to be exposed like this all season.
Yeah, so and then it happens and you're
we
like,
we have to accept it, even though we're like, oh, this doesn't really feel as nice as I thought it would. But one thing that I did kind of bum me out was like Marvin Williams announcing he was retiring. Obviously, like he's like a career player, but there's something about when a player just doesn't even wait, isn't even like, I'll wait a couple months. They're just like, they're like,
a post-game interview.
Yeah.
He couldn't wait to like distance himself from the organization. He's like, well, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Not like, let me leave the bubble. Yeah. Let me go home.
Yeah. He probably hasn't
relax for a bit.
I'm going to see these guys.
He saw what happened. He's like, no, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And it sucks because he was actually so steady for the Bucks. Like he's like the, you know, the perfect role player. Guy that you can get off the bench like as an eighth man or something. They were obviously using him like I feel like too much, like versus what he's supposed to be used as. Like that's the thing with the Bucks, like they put so much on role players to step out of those roles, and it's like it always backfires. And Giannis was stressing in his post game that the lack of fans really affected them. It might have affected other people in the bubble, but it really affected the Bucks, and people were like laughing and stuff, but I understand what he meant. Like when your team is all role players and they are not in front of an audience, bad things happen. There's no momentum, and like, you know, we see it as Raptors fans, that crowd really, really injects energy into guys who may otherwise struggle on the road. So I feel like maybe every game was like a road game for them. It might have been like some of what the Sixers had gone through this season.
I know. I kind of wish. I think it was just like one thing we're sort of noticing in the bubble, I think definitely with Toronto and Boston right now, but just like these perfect matchups that like so easily seem to expose the weak spots of the other team. And I think with Miami and the Bucks, like Miami perfectly just exposed everything that the Bucks like didn't have together yet, whether that's like in the postseason or like how they were playing kind of since the restart. You know, Miami was just sort of like relentless, like so much physicality and energy and just like, I don't know, legs for days. They just seem to be running circles around the Bucks, you know? And I mean, I'm so happy.
Athleticism.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so happy for Jimmy, but I was also kind of like, man, it would suck to lose to like the Myers Leonards of the world, the like Tyler Heroes of the world, like just these little like smarmy kind of like young dudes who are just so like cocky and like sure of themselves, you know.
Whoever comes out of the Raptors like Celtics Raptor. Series.
Sorry. No, go ahead, Yasmin.
I was just going to say, whoever comes out of the Raptors-Celtics series is not losing to the Heat. I feel like whoever comes out of that series is a terrible matchup for them, just, you know, offense-wise.
Yeah, and I also feel like as Raptor fans, you probably just can't, like, be as petty towards the Bucks as you want to be, because we're kind of like, what if we're kind of going down the same road? So we might be joining their sad party and jumping on that like crying train.
I know.
So let's just wait to see what happens with us.
Yeah,
kind of like I feel for them because I'm like, could be us in like tonight.
Honestly, like we, the thing is, they're in like win now mode. You know what I mean? This whole season was gravy for the Raptors, you know, for them to remain competitive and lose a finals MVP and all that. But the Bucks, like, this is their chance to win a title. Like, not about going, you know, going all the as far as you can with dignity and stuff, but this, their pitch to keep Giannis, like, hey, we can get you to the finals at least. Mm-hmm. So to go out like this in the second round versus, what was it, like a fifth seed or a fourth seed? It's not a good look.
No. And like, that's a really good point. And I think kind of speaks to just obviously the narrative around Giannis's free agency next summer or whenever it falls. It might not be summer, but next off season. Like, obviously there was like rumors around, we really wanted to be Toronto. There's some talk that it could be Miami, but in a post game last night, he said he wasn't going anywhere. So I wanted to ask you both if you believe it.
I think it was Chris Hayes who asked that. And I think it was in regards to requesting a trade like next season, like just getting out of there as soon as possible. And he was like adamant that he wouldn't, which I expected. Like, he doesn't seem like the type to demand a trade or to sit out a season or anything. If he does make any decision, it would just be to walk away. And they could honestly put everything to rest if he just signs his Supermax this offseason. Which I don't think is even happening with all the uncertainty about the cap and everything and all the questions people have about how much money will be left for next season. So I believe him when he says that he's not going to request a trade. And I think that the Bucks wouldn't even consider that. I think they're going to take their chances and try again to get to the finals.
Mm-hmm. Nora, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree as well. I agree too. I don't think he would request the trade. I don't think he's the kind of person who would like Yasmin said, sit out or just, you know, leave teams on bad terms. He seems like a very polished, just I don't know, like a professional, and that doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would go down that route. I also don't know if he leaves Milwaukee just because of that reason too. Like, I feel like he might really value loyalty and maybe he might not leave for another team in the East because, you know, you're going again. If he does leave Milwaukee, why would he, if he has that persona and that mindset, I don't see him joining a team in the same conference if he does. I hope it's the Raptors, but I feel like, I don't know. It's really hard to tell, to be honest. You can't really read the guy. Bless you.
Sorry.
Yeah, he's been really good with keeping it private. And not leaving any, not leaving any cues or anything for people to interpret. Like, he's been like tight-lipped about everything. So, which is like probably great for Milwaukee fans. Like, I'd appreciate it so much if my, like,
especially after all the other fan bases are like thirsting and salivating over him. Like,
for him not to even entertain that stuff, not to fave anything. Well,
they didn't hear any they. There was no Kawhi they. This is just we. He's always we. And
It's true. I wanted to, thanks. I just want to forewarn everybody, my allergies are out of control.
Same.
there might be some sneezes. we should maybe move to the West because I'm not ashamed to admit that the Lakers continue to surprise me. That I think what's become kind of apparent for me in the Lakers-Rockets series is I think that the Lakers can outlast the Rockets, but I'm not sure that the Rockets can outlast the Lakers. Do you think the Rockets can pull out two wins in a row going forward? Sorry.
I don't know. I feel like they've seemed overwhelmed by the Lakers' size. Like, that front court with LeBron and AD just – they're getting whatever they want with little resistance. So I feel like the Rockets formula would work against a lot of teams, but with a team with a front court that strong, it's not going to work. I don't see them winning. Like, I honestly thought the Rockets were like sleepers in that series. Like, I thought they would pull it out. I thought they would surprise everyone. But the Lakers have been so impressive. And I think I expected this. I said that for the Lakers to be able to do anything, LeBron and AD would have to score like 80% of the points. Like, that's just what's going to have to happen. And they've gotten really good contribution from Rondo. Like, he kind of been exactly what they need. Like, he's hitting his open shots. He's playmaking, which they've lacked in that backcourt. Like, they don't really have a real point guard with Avery Bradley out. So he's been helping them a lot, and it's been really impressive. So I feel like Russ and James Harden would have to do the same and score most of the points for the Rockets in order for this to work. Mm-hmm. But a lot of Rockets fans have been complaining that those two have been just disappearing for stretches of the game, and mm-hmm. not dominating like they'd hoped.
I think what's been weird too is like the Rockets always force, I mean, they kind of force everyone else to go small, and they've like forced the Lakers to do that a few times too. But even as you said, Yasmin, like with the Lakers size, their small lineup is still hulking, like compared to the Rockets. You know what I mean? They just look like more like bullies. And I think it's one area where even though the Rockets like number one MO is just like, make three pointers. And I have to say, like, as someone who didn't necessarily watch all of Rockets games this regular season, and I know like we hear like that's their strategy to actually see them do it, I'm like, oh, that's their whole strategy all the time, just to shoot threes. That's it.
That nothing like, oh, like you'll have no. The occasional open layup, yeah, but like there's absolutely no mid-range. I don't even see Harden take that many floaters like he used to. Maybe he determined they weren't like efficient enough, but it's literally just three. People would dribble into the arc and then realize what they're doing and dribble back out and then take a three. Like, it's so strange.
You're like, I'm not supposed to be here. Let me go back.
Yeah, like, it's so
odd. You have no idea.
Shot charts. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Sorry, I'm like still in Muskoka right now.
Yeah. And all the dots are at the perimeter.
There's nothing in the middle. And it's like, do they know you can play basketball in the middle too? Like, you're allowed here. But it's madness. It's crazy.
It's wild. I guess it's like, because for them, you can't even be like, oh, is it an energy thing? Like, you know, they're not, it's not like they're getting beat up in the paint because they're just like not trying to get to the paint. At all, they're just
Robert Covington
like,
got knocked in the face.
Oh, true, that was his. Yeah, there. Who hit him? Who did he run into?
AD, I think AD's elbow.
Ooh.
I think that's where he reaches, like standing height.
I can picture for some reason, like Anthony Davis's elbow. Don't you just picture it as like a sharp, like the sharpest elbow in the world? Like it's just
it looks like it would give me a concussion.
Yeah, like extra pointed to me.
Yeah, hopefully it's not serious. He was bleeding so much. Like, ugh. That's what happens when you have, like, your, like, he's supposed to be, what, a shooting guard or a small forward, mm-hmm. like, guarding Anthony Davis, like, who's supposed to be a center. Like, just that accidents like that will happen.
That's brutal. I think for, like, due diligence, maybe we should talk about Clippers Nuggets, but I actually have to admit, I keep forgetting this series is happening. Is this series actually kind of boring, or is it just me like psychologically distancing myself from Kawhi? Nor, what do you think?
I'll be honest. I don't think I've watched the series yet. I'm not really sure what's going on. I kind of been checked out the whole weekend. Mm-hmm. But they're tied now, right? Or is it 2-1?
2-1.
Two
right?
One.
See, I don't
know. It's 1-1 now.
Oh, it's 1-1.
I thought it was 2-1.
I think it's. No, it's. Yeah, it's. Wait.
They haven't even played
2-1. Yeah, yet. I think the Nuggets won the last one, and then the Clippers won the other night. I only caught a couple of the games of the series. I could be wrong. I know that the Nuggets.
It's 2-1.
Yeah, I know the Nuggets won one game.
Yeah, so we promise we will come prepared next time.
They won the last one, like the second game of the series. Mm-hmm. And like the thing is, like Jokic is winning his matchup like with ease. Like he's playing. People are saying like he has a playoff switch. Jokic of all players, like this guy in the playoffs is insane. Like mm-hmm. it's so fun to watch him. He gets the rebound and he just throws it to the other end of the court and it lands in the hands of one of his, you know, guards. Like there's just a bunch of guys dancing around Jokic and he's like the sun. I just love their system. Like, and it works for them. Zubac.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Zubac. Okay. And Montrezl Harrell is they're struggling against keeping him in check because he's huge. Like, he's overwhelming with his size and he's so skilled. He'll just get right around them, draw them into easy fouls. And you know, Pat Bev didn't like that. He called him out on it in that post game interview that he flails or all that.
Yeah, flailing.
But he's obviously he's selling it. A lot of smart players will sell the contact, but they are getting hit. And I think that's what the Clipper centers are resorting to because they can't stop him. Mm-hmm. But Jamal Murray, I don't think he's found his rhythm against the defensive wings of the Clippers. Like, he's dealing with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. It sucks for him. And Paul George's playing. So there's not much you can do in those cases.
I just want to shout out to Kelsey that, no, we're not going to slander Pat Bev now, but Kelsey, I am going to slander him a little later on in a segment we have coming up. Yeah, just give us a little bit of time. But on that note, just to everyone watching, listening, if you have any questions, feel free to type them in the Q&A. If you're watching on Zoom and if you're watching on Facebook, you can just comment, and our wonderful producer Sophia will drop them in here for us to answer for you. And I think that's enough of Clippers nuggets. Because considering we didn't even know 3 games had happened yet. So on to the Patrick Beverly slander section, which is, I wanted to talk about the NBA All Defensive Teams rankings coming out. I don't know if you guys actually got mad about this. I saw a lot of people getting mad about it. I didn't take it too personally, but I just do find it odd that the second ranked team in terms of defense, the Toronto Raptors, have no one on these two lists.
Yeah, I think the person closest was Lowry. Yeah, he was just out of the guard spots. I think he was like right on the fringe of that. Like, he had a lot of votes, but wasn't enough to get into the first two teams. OG had like 4 votes total for second and third place, I guess, which was shocking. Pascal had a few votes. Fred had like only a couple of votes. Like, it was kind of shocking that the second ranked defense in the NBA, a historic defense that people rave about on every morning show, did not receive any love on those lists. Like, I wouldn't have minded if they kind of cannibalized each other's votes, but that wasn't even the case. They weren't receiving a lot of votes outside of Kyle Lowry. So it was kind of disappointing. There were 3 Bucks on both teams.
Yeah, like,
Bledsoe, Giannis, and Brooke Lopez. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, that was kind of, I feel like, I mean, I know it's not a hard and fast rule, but like, I don't think you should have teammates like doubling up on one list. Like, yeah, if one's going to be on the first defensive team, maybe this, you have one on the second, but 2 on the same list, like, come on, just for the sake of parity. Like, if we want to make the joke that there's like parity in the league, this is one way we could at least like try and enforce it. Nor did you want to like
excuse, like, wasn't their excuse like, oh, the team is so good, we can't pick one? Like, the oldest, like, elementary like, school excuse you get told when you're, like, the best kid in class. And then the teacher's like, well, you got all the other awards, so we have to give the French award to the other kid over here because they don't get anything.
And it's like, and then they give too much kudos to Nurse. In NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah, they give too much credit to Nurse. Like, that's why I'm, like, kind of hesitant to, like, I always acknowledge that Nick Nurse has amazing personnel. That's, like, ultimately what it comes down to. He's had amazing personnel the last 2 years. I think he's brilliant, he's creative, he's the risk taker, but I feel like when people praise the Raptors, they always start with the coach first, when in reality he has a defensive like plus at every position that he plays. So I feel like he has so much to work with that it would be hard for any coach to really mess with that. Like, I feel like I expected them to be a top defense going into the season, you know? So.
Yeah. Well, they are. Just not on this list. Like, they still are. It's just in terms of actual, like, rankings within the league, just not when it comes to voting. But yeah, it is a weird thing considering, like, Yasmin, to your point, there was so much talk about the Raptors defense. There was like serious like articles written about it. But still, like, with this, I think Lowry had 23 votes. So like, I guess I'm like, oh, that's good that he got the votes, but And even though, because I think like some of these statistics, like you can't really recognize the intangible stuff guys do on defense because there's no stat for it. But obviously Lowry was recognized enough to get that many votes, but like still not enough to make it onto these lists, which I don't quite understand. But the Patrick Beverly slander section, because I wanted us each to pick someone we thought that we could take off like either the first defensive rating or the second. Oh no, a hummingbird just flew into the window.
Oh, into your home?
No, into the window of the outside.
Did it like fall off or kept flying?
No, it kept flying, but I feel like it was coming to the defense of Patrick Beverly. But I wanted to say, like, someone like Patrick Beverly to me is more of like a general pest than like a defensive player. So yeah. I would yank Beverly off this list for sure to put Lowry on. Who would you guys yank?
The list is never ending. Bledsoe, Kendrick Nunn. Like what? How do you guys have these people on the on the list? I don't even like at this point. I think we all kind of knew this was coming. We knew the Raptors weren't gonna be on it, so I was already like prepared to just be like, okay, I'm just gonna like make fun of it and move on because whatever. The players don't care. We already know we're the best. Like who? Why do we care about what the media has to say? We can't make them sit down and open their eyes and watch Raptors basketball. But then it also could just be like American propaganda. So I don't know.
Could be.
I can go all conspiracy.
Yes, when you went quiet.
Can't hear you.
Yes, but I could see you're ready to yank someone, but we can't hear who
it is. Hear me?
I wish I could read lips.
Hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know why I blanked out, but what was I going to say? Yeah, I was just going to say, like, the only one that upset me was OG. Mm-hmm. Jeremy? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that was the only one I took personally because I'm like, this guy is arguably like, I feel like I'm going crazy when I look at him play and no one is fawning over him being arguably the best on-ball defender in the NBA. Like that one was the only one that upset me. I feel like who would I take out? Probably Pat Bev, because I feel like people have career nights versus him. I feel like all he does is give them motivation to kill him on the court. Like, I don't understand.
Like, Luka scored like 10 points on him in less than a minute. Like, not even 2 days ago, apparently. Luka. Doncic.
Oh, yeah, like.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All he's there is to talk shit, and then everyone else just gets motivated, like you said. Like, hey,
I think the game they lost. I think the game that they lost, he was ejected or something in the first few moments. And yeah, Jamal Murray had a good night apparently. Like I feel like a lot of it is it's all narrative based at the end of the day. Like that's all it is. Like I think that's what I realized with these defensive teams. It's about like who's planting the narratives and who's promoting it and writing about it and blah blah blah. I think I would have replaced Pat Bev with either Lowry or Fred VanVleet. Mm-hmm. I would have been.
I mean, if we were going to make like an all pest, all NBA, an NBA all pest team, maybe, then I would have Patrick Beverly, probably both of the Morris twins. Who else would I toss in there? Honestly, at this point, Marcus Smart, I would toss on the pest team. Yeah. Who else? Maybe James Harden.
yeah. In that post, like, yeah, in the post, he just, like, takes the ball or, like, pokes it away. Like, it's very annoying.
Yes. He's got a different kind of menace going on. Anyway, speaking of stars that some people think are pests, we should talk about the Steve Nash hiring for the sake, I guess, of Kevin Durant. So I just wondered – if you thought it's a smart strategy to hire coaching staff, let alone a head coach, to theoretically appease your star. I'm kind of the mind that I don't think anyone can make Kevin Durant happy, but I'm curious to know.
But himself?
Yeah, exactly. What do you think, Yasmin?
I this is the one thing I have like no opinion about, like hiring him. Cause like, I feel like theoretically it should work. Like he's Steve Nash. He's brilliant. Like everyone knows that he's an on-court genius. Will it translate to modern basketball? I hope so, because I feel like he was playing modern basketball before it was cool. Like, he could shoot. He was a 50-40-90 guy. He was all about ball movement and getting his teammates involved. I feel like it can be good for Kyrie to be coached by a player like that, because I feel like that's exactly what he lacks. Like, mm-hmm. So maybe Steve Nash will be able to help him improve as a point guard, as a true point guard, because right now he's kind of like a shooting guard. Like, he wants to get those shots up. He wants to close mm-hmm. games and stuff. Yeah, I feel like it should work in theory. Whether people should hire coaches based on what their stars want, when it's Kevin Durant, I guess, yeah. Because I feel like if it's LeBron, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, I feel like guys with multiple rings that can do anything on the court have that right. Otherwise, I think players should just trust their front offices.
I think those guys have worked their way up there. Mm-hmm. They've worked their way to get to that point to be able to have an input in that regard. And I feel like who are we to decide what Kevin Durant wants? If that's what he thinks going to give him a championship over the Raptors, then okay, you can try it. Let's see what mm-hmm. happens.
I guess my hesitation still, even though, like, yes, obviously Nash was a different kind of genius, like maybe a little bit more modern before his, like a contemporary player before his time, is it's difficult, I think, when a really good player, it's why like I would love for someone like Lowry to be a coach, like, or to think that like he might want to go into coaching when he's done his playing career, but I don't know how it would translate, because when you're just kind of like
exactly.
this genius on court, and you know in your mind, like, you can just see things happening in front of you with like almost like psychic ability, right? Like a natural. How do you explain that to a player? You're like, just do what I do. Like that, I don't know how you coach
just
that.
Just wash my tits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, that's a really good point. I think that's the reason why being like a brilliant basketball mind on court has not always translated into coaching, because I feel like so much of coaching, and I think that Nick Nurse is the best example of this, is like just communication and personality management and like understanding, like, I guess the psychology of your players and their state of mind on a game-to-game basis. That's like so much of it. It's the X's and O's is like, it's part of it, but in order for it to work, like, that you can throw that in the bin if you don't understand people. And I feel like just based on what I understand about Steve Nash, he might be the type of person whose temperament could work in a film room or something. He does have assistant coaching experience from being on the mm-hmm. Warriors, so I guess he could be someone who's kind of in the image of like a Steve Kerr, who does translate mm-hmm. well into the NBA. So we'll see. I'm really excited though. I'm really excited to see how that works out, because it's such an interesting and random pairing, mm-hmm. or trio rather.
Yeah. Nor do you think, given the fact that, like, you know, we're seeing so many coaches getting let go in this postseason.
It's
like the
crazy this season.
Donovan. Yeah, it's wild.
Like, can we list them? Sorry.
Yeah, let's try. Let's try.
There's Alvin Gentry. Yeah. Nate McMillan.
Yeah. Billy Donovan.
Billy Donovan. Donovan, sorry. Kenny Atkinson.
Phillies.
Oh, yeah. And I guess Jacques Vaughn.
Yeah, Kenny Atkinson, Jack Vaughn, Brett Brown.
See you later, Kenny Rogers.
Who else?
All right now, right?
Oh, didn't the Knicks fire, what's his name again? Oh my God, what was his name?
Or an assistant.
Knicks coach. Wasn't he fired this season?
Oh, yeah. But like, you know, with the Knicks, you're just like, I don't know, it's just a revolving door. Like,
yeah, like... That's normal for them. Like,
yeah.
That's like eight coaches that I can recall being fired this season. Oh my goodness. That's like almost
insane.
I know.
It's crazy.
They all start like a group therapy together. Go on, go like have these on Groupon.
Yes.
So that's a solid.
It makes me hopeful that like someone like Jason Kidd will just not ever get a head coaching job again. I hope, because there's so many other like more talented coaches out there. But Noor, I wanted to ask, like, do you think that the Nets should have waited, or do you think this was like they had their mind made up, like they had their guy?
I feel like when you have someone like Kyrie and KD, you don't really get to decide when you want to make announcements or what you want to do. It just kind of happens. They're the ones who are running the reins, right? And I feel like Them coming together to be in Brooklyn was to create a team that they wanted. And that's exactly what they're doing. Kevin himself got to a point where he can make these shots and he can demand whatever he needs because he is one of the top basketball players. And then Kyrie is there as well, who's good. And like, yeah, I think that, what was the question again? Sorry, I completely lost track of that.
Do you think they like had made up their mind to go with Steve Nash? Do you think they should have waited given like all these other coaches that are now jobless?
Yeah, no, I feel like it's, yeah, like I said, if it's Kevin Durant and Kyrie deciding, there's not much the front office can do. They decided to go there to create that team that they wanted. Mm-hmm. And if maybe they did that knowing who they wanted to have as coach, you know, like they were going to give whoever the coach, I forget what the name is right now of the coach. I'm completely not even, I haven't read up on anything.
Steve Nash? But,
No. Oh. The other coach before.
Oh,
the
Jack
one just fired. Yeah, yeah. The one we just played.
Yeah.
They probably just giving him like a season to be like, let's see what he can give. But I'm sure someone like Kevin Durant had already an idea of who they wanted and who they wanted to bring in for their culture because he brought this is where he just decided to go together. They knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm. Could they have waited? Yeah, probably, but
it's funny to refer to Kevin Durant just as Kevin. I really liked that, Noor. And you're like, Kevin knew what he wanted. Kevin knew like what he was getting into.
He texted me. He's like, Noor, I know what I'm doing, okay? You let the girls know I know what's going to go down. Only I got you, Kevin.
Kevin, don't worry. Do you think anyone's ever called him Kev? I don't think so.
I feel like that. Maybe teammates.
Yes, but you're so quiet again. You sound so far away. Now I can't hear you.
Oh.
Oh no.
No. You're, she's like caressing it. She's
yeah,
like,
I know. She's like go. willing it back. Willing it back to work. Oh no. Technical difficulties. Oh boy.
Just is keep it maybe
testing?
Yeah, just click stuff and see what happens. It could be like the, I know Zoom has the feature where you can pick where you want the microphone to come out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're very faint. You're extremely quiet.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so odd.
Scream for us, Yasmin.
Or turn your, crank your volume up, maybe?
Yeah, like it's...
Oh, now she disappeared.
How's it now?
Very quiet.
That's so strange. I mean,
this is why people like our live show, because it's real. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jerome. Check the audio settings on your MacBook and Zoom that it doesn't have the gain down.
Sounds like it could work.
We respect our fans and their knowledge that they know.
Thank you, Jerome. We love you.
Thanks, Jerome. Real friend of the pod and our us.
Friend of the pod.
Individually. Is it still faint?
Yes.
I think there's volume settings too. Maybe that could be it. Like if you go into audio settings at the bottom, it gives you like a range. We're really humanized to everybody.
Yasmin could hold up handwritten comments. That's a suggestion for you.
Really close to it. Will it work?
Yeah.
It's not bad, actually. Yeah, that kind of works.
Better.
Yeah.
It's very intimate and we'll be extremely silent when it's your time to talk.
Everyone just,
well,
yeah,
listen, thanks everybody for sticking with us for the technical segment. We always have to have one in the live show.
Always.
But I mean, it's fair to get to like the main event now. I think we all knew where we were gearing up for it. I feel like yesterday, I can speak for the Dishes and Dimes crew. I think we all had a day yesterday to be gloomy and reflective. you know, but I think now when we look at the Raptors going into game six, we know they did not play like the team we know, love and recognize and respect in game five, but why is everybody making their goodbyes today? that makes has made me really upset to see, like, on the timeline, everyone's just like, well, if this is
I saw that too.
Love this tells team.
Me after game three with 0.5 seconds left on the clock. Like, it's been fun, guys. I kind of did the same earlier today because I feel like I'm mentally preparing myself. Like, I honestly, like, they have every chance to pull this out and make it a 7-game series, which would be awesome. But at the same time, I'm like, if anything happens, this was a great season. Weird bubble. Like, whoever comes out of this, it's not real anyways. I don't care. I was flipping the narrative.
That's when the
what the hell is bubble in. Basketball anyway? Like, what is
it's not real. Basketball? We saw how crazy it's not been. It's not real, like, but everything... I'm enjoying the ride.
Everything we've known to be true is, like, not true. Any team we thought was going to go far is not going far.
It's a mess.
We got to turn it around. Like, I wanted to say, like, I wanted to especially point out, like, as like a good energy shift for anyone who needs it. I'd like to point out a very apt tweet for this kind of energy that Noor posted bright and early this morning.
Let's hear it.
I woke up just motivated. Warrior mode.
Well, like, brutally motivated. Like,
yeah, like, it was bad. It's kind of like PG rated. Like, just don't show the kids.
Yeah. There it is.
Go for the jugular.
Got him right where we want him.
Yeah.
Snap it.
Up 3-2.
So I think that is just like, I think that's appropriate. That's what we need to, like, experience going.
No, I respect that. I love that. Yeah, they did. You're absolutely right when you say they did not play like the team we know in game five. Like, I just thought maybe the exhaustion caught up to them finally. Like, I saw OG getting blown by.
Oh,
like, it was so weird. Like, I just saw them missing coverages, missing layups, missing dunks. Like, it was just odd. I just saw a team that was exhausted and then, I guess, unmotivated by all those shots they were missing in the first quarter. Which really, like, with the Raptors, one thing I noticed is that this is a team that's really good, but they do get blown out. And when they get blown out, it always seems to be that they're missing shots in the beginning, and then it starts to affect their defense. They stop trying. Like, I guess they just want to get to the next possession so they can try and score again. And that's exactly what I saw. They were kind of messing with – I didn't see any traps. Like, they were messing up their zones, things that they weren't doing. Like, credit to the Celtics, who did play hard. But I just saw, like, they were letting Jaylen Brown go off. Tatum struggled. Like, it was a tough watch. So I feel like backs against the wall, they should come out swinging next game. I hope that Nick Nurse organizes some really easy baskets for the first few minutes.
Yeah, honestly.
Just to get them rolling, get the confidence up. This is it. Like, just go out and play your heart and leave it all on the court, because this could be your last game. So you may as well leave on a note where you left an imprint on the game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And hopefully Serge is okay. I haven't seen any updates, so.
Mm-hmm. I think he's questionable still.
I think this could be a game that Kyle Lowry really goes off. I could see him having a really big game.
And, I hope so, because he's our best player right now.
Yeah. I know.
He's been phenomenal.
He's been amazing. And I'm just thinking, like, is that enough to will us to a win tonight? Or would we still, like, as great as Norman Powell had been in the regular season, we gave him so much credit for being consistent, for that quote about Nick Nurse asking him to give him, you know, like, somewhere between 15 to 20 points. And he's like, hey, I'll give you 25 points a night. Like, he's been so good. And then in the bubble, it's just been kind of like, where are you? We need Norman Powell. It's hard. And I feel like Yasmin said, I am also mentally, I think I'm prepared for a loss. Like, I'm already like, okay, this could easily be the last game that I'm watching for the season. but then like, going into it, I'm like, you know what? We've got Kyle Lowry. We've got Nick Nurse. We could always, you know, Siakam could have that one really good game. You never know. This could be like his breakout story. Maybe he was up last night listening to, like, Eye of the Tiger, watching his own highlights. And he's like, hey, shit, I got this. I got to do this right. So I don't know. I feel like anything can happen, but I'm prepared either way. And I love this team either way. All you plastic-hearted fans, I swear to God, I will show up at your house.
I think, like, I mean, I wanted to keep it on the note of blood. I wanted to bring up a very like, to me, curious and maybe worrisome tweet by the Boston Celtics that they sent out this morning. bleed green, hashtag bleed green, several times.
Was it you, Katie, who was like, it sounds like a medical problem?
Yeah, they got to get this checked out. But I do think that, you know, on the note of going for the jugular, the Raptors should just be prepared to get some green blood in their mouths tonight. But I did also want to answer one of the questions that we had from Jerome. What is the medical treatment for green blood?
It's one of the many COVID symptoms we don't understand yet. Green blood. That's what it is. Yeah, it's a terrible slogan. Like, just awful. Like,
disgusting.
It's really bad.
Why are they bleeding? Like, why are you being like, we must bleed to win this game? You're gonna run into Anthony Davis's elbow? Like, come on.
That's such a bad tweet. Like, I want to know who their marketing manager is. Like, he deserves to be exposed for that tweet. We should all, like, slander him.
It's a gross tweet. It's a gross tweet. I mean, but seriously, I think we need all of our, like, favorite kind of duos to show up tonight. You know, we need the duo of taking shots and making shots to show up. That's a very important duo. We need Norman Powell and Fred VanVleet to show up and break, like, the Osmos curse, which I'm kind of concerned is the new GoDaddy curse, just given, like, especially Yasmin, what you said about Norm. Like, Norm in the playoffs was like his bright spot. Like, if Norm was going to be inconsistent all year, at least we could count on Norm to show up in the playoffs and just have, yeah, like a meteoric kind of game. And now the inverse seems to be true.
Yeah. And also, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but if I do have a criticism of Pascal, like, besides his three-point shot, is that he's, like, invisible for the first half. And then the second half, he'll score, like, 12 consecutive points. And I'm like, you realize these guys kind of guard you. Like, where is this energy when you come out? You know, like, exactly. You shouldn't need, like, a pep talk from the coach at halftime to do what we know you can do, you know? So hopefully, I think what I'm anticipating is seeing an aggressive Pascal to start and then maybe carrying. And I feel like that's just something you get from reps, like, finding that pacing, picking your spots. Like, that's something that Kawhi did so well, where he just knew when to impose his will. Yeah, so I feel like that's something that Pascal will just learn from the playoffs, from more seasons as a number one or number two option. But this is, like, the perfect time for him to learn. And I feel like he's just going to take so much from this series. Whatever happens, he'll take so much from this series into his off-season training.
100%.
I think, like, another thing that was sort of missing from what we saw, like, in the last game was just, like, when they lost early because they got so far behind. And then there was a lot of hero ball going on. Like, they were just trying to make all the shots up right away. It reminded me a lot of game one when they got behind early on. And they, instead of just trying to, like, chip away and chip away at the deficit, they were just like, well, we got to make this up immediately. And the Raptors, you know, it's great when they can make the shots, but where they can outscore Boston is in the paint. And I think just, like, through team plays, like, they became such a weird, it was very weird to see them play sort of ISO style basketball versus just
I don't want to see Freddie dribble.
No one needs to see that. It's so stressful. But, like, we know when they swing the ball around and they've got a lot of movement, like, and you've got, like, a great just kind of, like, channel pass going around, like, that's exactly when they tend to make those 3-point shots. It's like, they're not very good at, like, the run and pull up, like, jumpers for threes. It's like when you've got the momentum of, like, the passing going around, then they're going to make them. So I think just, like,
exactly, when you find the open man, 100%. Yeah. I hate it when they pull up and they take that three. I'm like, pass the ball. Like, you
know, only Lowry has that green light. Like, when Lowry, I always yell pull up three when I see Lowry running in transition.
He's the only person. So, like, and when I see Fred with the ball coming down, I'm just, like, ripping out my hair. Like,
there were so many dump-off passes where Serge was literally under the basket, like, waiting for the ball, and Fred would just dribble past him to the other end of the corner. And I'm like, Serge is right there. No one's guarding him.
I know it's your contract year, but, like, I know you want to win, too. Like, pass the ball. Yeah. It's insane. Yeah.
I just see, like, whenever things go wrong for them, they seem to go into bad habits, like, yes. old habits, rather. Yeah. So, like, Norm was looking like yeah. Norm 2 years ago. Fred was looking like Fred 2 years ago. Like, that's what was happening.
Yeah, exactly. I find a lot to do with the Raptors is confidence. They lose it and then they don't know how to get it back. And we had that problem with LeBron too. We had that problem with Beefen before that. And then we got Kawhi and we had that one guy who was just able to keep you level-headed and make you understand that, like, hey, shut out the noise, shut out your own thoughts, like, just be there in the game and do what you have to do. And I know we have Kyle because Kyle 100% shows up every night no matter what it is. But, like, I'm like, is he communicating? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He's still 6 feet. He's still 5'5".
There's still limitations, yeah.
100%. So it's just like you, they need, we know they're a good team. We know they're the better team. We know they're able to do what they can. But when they see themselves missing shots, it's kind of almost like they get in their head and they just, like you said, they try to play hero ball. They do what they can. But the most important thing for them is to just stay as calm as they can, stay as reserved as they can throughout the whole thing and stick to what has been giving them wins all throughout the past 2 years, which mm-hmm. is ball movement.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and team play. Like, yeah, we want to see them come out with, like, knowing their backs are against the wall. But, like, and I think there's, like, always a fine line of, like, playing hungry and playing desperate. And I think when you're really tuned in and, like, keyed in, they always play the best when they're playing as a team. And it's, like, when they get too far into their own heads and start to play ISO, like, that's when it becomes desperate versus just, like, the confidence of being able to rely on one another, which is, like, what they did all season. And we've seen them get through worse slumps with less players available. So, like, mm-hmm. you know, they're capable of it. And, like, as a, like, a very nice silver lining to, like, see Gintu, Noor, I know you mentioned the other day, I saw this on Twitter and I was like, this is exactly it. It's like, you know, that if they can get through the Celtics, the Raptors could probably win the title again. There's no other team that, like, seems to slow them down or irk them or, like, present them the mismatch. No. The Celtics do. The Celtics are a very good team and it's a very difficult
terrible mismatch.
Yeah.
Very terrible well matched with the Raptors.
I've learned now. So, I honestly when it, it's a repeat of last season's Sixers series. Going into the Sixers series last year, I was like, oh, this is like a 5-game series. Like the Raptors just the matchup is, you know, in their favor. And they took us like to 7 games and they were honestly a bench big away from winning that in probably less mm-hmm. than 7 games. So this, you know, the Celtics team are the same way. They have the offensive wings in Jalen and Jason that stress our defensive wings in Pascal and OG that kind of push them to the limit. So, yeah, it's a tough matchup. They just have a lot of weapons that punishes the Raptors' help-heavy, you know, defense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at least we know that now. And funnily enough, Giannis is, like, a terrible matchup for the Boston Celtics. They struggle against him historically. So.
Yeah.
So I guess we should have known this when the Celtics were playing, when they were down Kyrie and they were playing LeBron and they took LeBron to 7.
Yeah. I mean,
they
have a winning
much
formula.
More than we could have done 100%. And they have guys who are confident. They have guys who are gritty and they want to be there to win. Mm-hmm. As much as I hate Marcus Smart, you got to love Marcus Smart.
I will, whatever happens. Yeah, after. I'll think of him fondly again, but I definitely don't right now. I guess if there's any like other questions that anyone wants to ask, now's the time. Just as we get into like our own kind of closing thoughts, you can share them if you're watching on Zoom in the Q&A, or if you're watching on Facebook, you can just type them in to the comments and they'll be shared here for us. But while we wait for those, while we wait for all these questions to roll in, do you have any like parting, let's try and keep it positive, but like parting thoughts to set people up for game 6? Yasmin, start with you.
Okay. no pressure. Yeah, like probably what I tweeted earlier today, that whatever happens, this was the most fun regular season in Raptors history. So don't forget that. And don't forget that, you know, this is Pascal's second year as an NBA starter. He's still figuring it out. He needs time. You know, a player like all these other guys that are around his age group were number one options for years now. And he's already demonstrated the intellect and the kinetic, I guess, understanding of how to improve as a basketball player. And he has a history of doing so. And there's precedent for him in his career. So be excited about what he's going to become next season. And the little minute, showings of growth that he can do. So be excited about the future no matter what happens. Like, if they get through this, if they don't, it's going to be the next half decade of Raptors basketball can be very, very fun.
Mm-hmm. Noor?
I would say watch tonight's game with people you love, with people you want to watch the Raptors with. Just be happy, be golly. These guys got you so far. They had like little to no expectation. People had them riding out of the playoffs, and we're over here second in the East, and they exceeded every expectation people had. I mean, to the point where we were like, we're going back to back, we're doing what we can. And that's not to say we're not winning tonight, because I believe in Kyle Lowry. I know Nick Nurse is not going to show up the same way he did last game. He's going to make adjustments. He's going to make sure that he does whatever he can for a seventh game. But yeah, I'm going to be watching tonight's game with friends, because I might need an ambulance called or resuscitated. Something might have to happen. Or I might just need to be partying afterwards. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. But, yeah. I would second that advice. Like, watch, if you got to watch alone, that's fine. But have like friends on deck you can contact. I'd say maybe treat yourself to things that, like, you know, whether like a comforting food, a nice beverage, whatever you need, like just have that around. And just to like, you know, emphasize what you both said, is just like this was a team that no one anticipated. I mean, we knew, but like, you know, was written off from the get out, like did so much this year, sometimes on like three legs. I mean, wait, that's like an animal analogy. So I'll say sometimes on one leg. People don't have sometimes on one leg, sometimes kind of like, you know, hands and knees, basically, with like how hobbled they were by injury. Like, they got through it, they got past it, they played extremely hard. You can't count them out of this game. I think like they're gonna come out with that, with whatever they come out with, like we'll know pretty quickly, you know, where we stand. But I also think sometimes they show up in the third very frustratingly, and they make that like explosive run to catch up. So like, this is going to be a tense game, but they're going to fight it out. And I think the future looks bright. I think when you look back on what the future potentially could have been when Kawhi left, and again, like what the narrative was around like everything the Raptors had to lose, are they going to blow it up? Like, where are we going to start from scratch with a new team? Like, we're not. Like, we know this team, they're going to keep the core intact. They've developed like the second generation of players, like incredibly. It's something that's super novel, I think, to this franchise. And like the championship DNA stays with that, because they're not going to lose those guys. I'm pretty confident they're going to re-sign Fred. They got Pascal. Like, the championship DNA runs through this next generation. So don't forget that. And we do have some questions.
Yay.
What move, this comes from Robert from Facebook. What move do you think Pascal develops in the off season, or do you hope he develops?
More mid-range.
Yes.
He's been showing it off the last couple games, which has been cool.
Yeah,
I wish
really
the three
good.
Came with it. But the mid-range is like coming along for him. I think a Titan handle will transform his game, like to be able to get into several players and find his open shooters. Like, a Titan handle is so something that he can easily develop, because he's already so coordinated. And that would be that'll help his game so much as a playmaker. And I feel like the mid-range thing is already coming along, and that's like a natural progression for him. So that's the move that I would love to see him show off next season.
Mm-hmm. And with the handle, he also has a great person to go to in OG, who has like one of the most phenomenal light but like tight handles, I think, on this team. It's something that he's worked on a ton. He said he worked on a ton.
Very impressive.
So get working with OG, Pascal. And then we talked about this a little bit, but if Serge is a no-go tonight, who should kind of split his minutes besides Mark?
Probably Boucher's our only choice, right? I would like to see maybe Mark play 30 minutes instead of 20 or 22, yes, like he usually does. And then maybe 15 minutes for Boucher, who I feel like versus the Celtics can serve a purpose. He's actually played them well during the regular season. He's really long, can dunk over guys, can finish
speed,
over them.
Which is so important against them.
He does have speed, which Mark doesn't always have. Bless him. Bless him.
And he's a gunner. Like, he's willing to shoot, whether it goes in or not. He's and the Raptors need that sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. But I would also say Serge, what we know of Serge is, like, he really takes care of himself. He's one of the players that just is, like, always, always just, like, if basically what I'm trying to say is if there's a way he can play, he will play. He will play through it.
Yeah.
Unless he's extremely hurt and not feeling well, that I think that's the only reason he doesn't. His teammates said,
I see Serge playing tonight as well. I don't
I think Fred said he'd be surprised if he didn't.
Yeah. That's what
it's potentially the last game. I feel like they would leave everything on the floor and then be like, hey, it's tomorrow's problem if I'm sore or injured.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out then.
I agree. So, I mean, we'll have to wait and see on that, but we do know that the Raptors have a lot of options. We just maybe haven't seen them yet in the rotation in this series, but we've seen them be able to work it all year. So I trust if someone like Boucher comes in to help Mark, I trust Mark being able to play more minutes, even if he looked tired. Mark, you know, Mark's big Spain, like this guy. He can do it.
He's due for a bounce back. I believe in Mark.
He is due for a bounce back. Mark has been looking so upset at himself, and I feel like he's really gonna, you know, let that out in this game.
Yeah.
I want them all to come out like Hercules today. Like, just pound their chest and leave blood on the floor.
Yes.
Do what you gotta do. Or just blow the Celtics out. Just like, imagine losing to the Celtics. I can't wrap my head around it.
We don't have to do that yet.
I know, not yet. I'm sorry, guys.
We thought we were going to be swept by them just a few days ago. Like, the expectations have changed so dramatically. Yes. Now it's like, we could take this in seven. You were almost swept.
No, we can still take this. And I think that's a good
Thank God for OG.
We'll always have that moment, no matter what happens.
Exactly.
OG's a bright spot, man. OG's the future.
As long as we have OG, we're going to have everybody. But, like, the fact that we have him, it's looking like a pretty bright future. We have the best one-on-one defender in the league, even though people don't want to recognize him. We will give you your flowers,
he'll get his flowers.
OG.
Yes, he'll get his flowers.
Exactly.
You're going to get your flowers. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us for another weekly live Dishes and Dimes Hoop Talks. We'll see you next Wednesday. We're still going, no matter what happens tonight. This is going. Yep. This chat is going playoffs long. Continue the slander in whatever way we need to whoever we need to. But 12:30 next Wednesday, we'll see you there. And thanks for joining. Let's go, Raptors.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.